Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Listen Bitch podcast with your favorite mindset coach and podcast host, Brandon Lynette. This is your go-to destination for unlocking your full potential and embracing the extraordinary possibilities within you. This is a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as you explore that transformative power of stepping into greatness. I am here to help you come into alignment with your God-given power and gifts to unleash your soul and learn to co-create a life that you love. As you become the writer of your own destiny, this podcast is here for your inspiration, for your practical tips, and sometimes the abrasive nudge to take the leap of faith towards your dreams. You guys, buckle up because you are definitely in the right spot here. And listen, bitch, I'm talking to someone today who has been in the trenches of sales, communication, and decision making, for a hot minute. Okay. She is a former sales gravy trainer, sales community insider. She's a seasoned leadership coach who blends neuroscience with improv. And she's, I believe you're still a full-time student, right?
I am still, I guess you, I mean, yeah, I'm a graduate student. It's not full time, but it feels full
Oh,
time.
yeah. No, I can imagine. New puppy mom, and I'm obsessed. I feel like her dogs need their whole channel. And she just dropped a brand new book that's already turning heads. You guys, please welcome my friend Gina Tremarco-Clauder, the woman behind The New Choice Effect, How to Make the Right Decisions Quickly Without Overthinking. Where were you 3 years ago, ma'am? Okay. What a waste of time. I've been waiting for this. This is the kind of book that's going to kick fear in the ass. Okay. So thank you so much for coming today. Welcome to Listen Bitch.
Well, thank you for having me on
Yes.
Listen, Bitch. I mean, you are like my spirit animal.
Yeah, I've admired you for a very long time.
Likewise, it's like
Yeah.
total mutual girl crushing, I think.
S absolutely. And I mean, I'm just obsessed with your life, your love life. Like, you guys are so cute. Okay. And the puppies, I'm serious. I told her in Messenger, you guys, that she needs a channel for these dogs. But I mean, people say the same thing about my naked cats, and I just don't, it's not something I could put on my plate right now. I barely could run my own social media, so
Hey, yeah, like listen, bitch, let's talk about that. Like
yes.
this that we're talking about boundaries and saying no to things. And while it sounds like a fun, cute idea, I am every day looking for what can I say no to, even though I am the yes and queen of improv. I
Yes.
love those dogs. They're adorable. They don't pay me enough to post their social media.
Little
They need jobs.
freeloaders.
Yeah,
Like,
the freeloaders, major.
in my next life, I feel like I should be a cat. Like, you're the boss of the house. You literally run the show. I just got out of prison with those little shits, too. Like, I'm telling you, it almost 3 weeks of just like, I can't believe this is my life. So it's, yeah. I
Yeah,
mean, we don't deserve animals, but also like fuck them sometimes.
they are precious. You know what's so cute about these animals? Two Pomeranians, a boy and a girl, was only supposed to get one, ended up with two. You know how that goes. And the girl, I mean, it's so interesting because I've never had a boy dog. I mean, I did as a kid, but not as an adult. And the boy dog versus the girl dog is like a sassy pain in the ass. Like she is me. She is just like constantly talking and yelling at people, sassy and cute. And Rocco is just like chill. He's my chill. I'm like, I never thought I would fall so in love with the boy. I mean, she's adorable, but she's a daddy's girl and he's a mama's boy. And they're contrasting personalities. It's so fascinating. I love watching animal behavior because it tells you a lot in general about behavior.
It does. I mean, everything in life is a lesson on behavior. I feel like you can find lessons everywhere. But those chill dogs, I don't know where you guys are finding them. My daughter just got She's got two dogs, and the one she just got, Benny, like the cutest shit I've ever seen. And he just chills. Like, I want to, she's like an hour and a half away from me. I just want to drive to her house every day to snuggle the dog. I don't care about anything else, but like, he's just the chillest. And my dogs are zero chill. Like, they are, I have a Shepsky. He's mouthy. Like, he's mouthier than my kids. Talks back all day long, screams at me. And then the Rottweiler, he thinks he's 2 pounds. And I don't even know else to say it other than like, we named him Bodacious because he's literally a bull. Like, he just char it's insane. So I'm jealous of your little dog life. Because I don't know, I don't even know what that's like. You got the little dogs and the chill, and I'm jealous.
Yeah, and you know, they say that animals kind of resemble their owners. I don't
Yeah.
know. I think
How weird.
he's the chill one 'cause my husband is so chill,
Yeah.
and she's the wild one 'cause, well, you know,
Yeah.
here I am.
I honestly can't see who my dogs represent in the family. So maybe it's just denial. It's just
It could
denial.
be.
Yeah.
It could be. I'd look deeper into it if I were you.
I'd probably cry. It'd be about me. Nah, I'm good. I'm good. Let's talk about this. First of all, okay, improv. You train people in improv. So I know that we have talked about this before, but I want my audience to hear this from you because you train people in improv. So there's a real link between the comedy of this and the game of it and tough real life shit.
You know, the first thing people think about, they think about the comedy aspect, and that's definitely an aspect. But when you break it down, improv is about improvising, and you can do that in just about everything. Like, it's huge in music for one, like especially in jazz. So it's the art of improvising, which when you kind of whittle that down, we're wired for it. We're wired
Right.
for being in the moment and improvising. If you just think about white fight or flight and the neuroscience behind that, we have the ability to improvise in the moment. But as we adult and it gets kind of like knocked out of us, like creativity, I've looked at studies on this that creativity is knocked out of us. There was a NASA study that tested 5-year-olds for creative genius status. And 95% of those 5-year-olds were creative geniuses. And by age 15, that number of those same children dropped down to 12%. They tested them over the years.
Yeah.
And then they took that same test and they gave it to adults. And of those 180,000 adults, 2% came back as creative genius. So the study shows that gets kicked out of us. And so if you think about that and other aspects of the brain, improv to me, right, that goes hand in hand from a creativity standpoint.
Yeah.
People become so scared of, like, I could never do that. And I preach this a lot that why am I fearless? Like, not too much scares me. Even today, I got like some stupid, I think it was a scam text of like, hey, you owe me $1,200. I'm on my way to your house. I'm like,
Oh
come
my
on,
God.
come
Bring
on. Like, nothing scares me. I
it.
live with a cop. Good luck with that. Like,
Right.
right. Like, I'm fearless because I have rewired my brain from being on stage because there's a 50% chance I am going to fall flat on my face, sometimes literally, and fail. And the audience will actually laugh at the failure and applaud. And
Right.
so what ends up happening is if you do that enough and you're rewarded, your brain just starts to be like, oh, let's fail again. And so there's a craving that kicks into place, I think, for improvisers. You do it so much, you're like, I can't possibly fail up here because even when I fail,
It's a
I
win.
win. And so these improv exercises actually force our brain to rewire our brain and to create new muscle memory.
Yeah.
And so take the comedy aspect out of it. Now, the comedy piece to me is good because a little bit of humor goes a long way
Right.
and can knock down walls. So we often say that funny happens. We don't teach funny because if you're trying to be funny, you typically look like an asshole.
Right. Right. You going back to what you said about kids losing their creativity and even adults like that, it breaks my heart. And I think that, what do you think about how social media? Ah!
That was
Welcome to Listen, bitch, where my shit is rigged up so hardcore. This is a 2x4 and I just knocked it over.
Hey, that's what we in improv we laugh at that.
Hell yeah. But no, it breaks my heart. And I feel like social media and just this internet access is going to add to that. And I think it affects all of us, but improv, this is my thing, is that no matter what you're doing in this life, like if, especially my moms, because I have a lot of moms that listen to this show, our life is improv. We are flipping gears 100 times a day
Constantly.
and going with that moment. And I think we take it for granted. We think it's just a mundane habit and like we're not creative and we're not, you know, it's just what we do. I'm just a mom. And I think like I wake up so happy and I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm like, man, what do I get to do today? You know, like what's gonna happen today? And it's just that miracle of like we don't know what's gonna happen and you learn to jive with everything. So I think a lot of people have it. They just haven't put two and two together to have fun with it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, when you describe it like that, that would make mom's queen of improv.
Queen of
Because
improv.
yeah, 'cause you are constantly pivoting in the moment, and that's improv. So every time someone says to me, "I could never get on stage and do what you do," I usually say, "Bullshit. You can. You can. You don't think you can because you're thinking of it way differently." And if you add to that, introverted people who will normally say to me, "I could never do that. That's scary. It's out of, you know, you're an extrovert." Introverted people are actually the best ones on stage
Really?
because they're the best listeners and they're the best observers. And so they're quiet and they pay attention and they hear and they can find the moments to leverage way better than the extrovert who's like, "Look at me, here I am."
I
Right? They
think
only hear themselves.
introvert is so overused though. I feel like everybody wants to claim that
I
because
know.
I mean, for one, people do suck. So I say it all the time. Like, I'm just an introvert, but no, really, like, people suck. So I'm just going to stay in my corner over here and pretend like I'm antisocial. But I think we just get in our heads too much. And so, yeah, I say bullshit. There isn't anybody on the planet that couldn't get up on stage and wing it, you know? So I think.
Yeah. So if you're a mom, you're living improv every day. And if you actually, I mean, if you look at these influencer moms too on social media, you know, a lot of them are freaking funny because like they're showing real life. And if you
Real
think about
life.
comedy, the two keys of comedy are repetition and contrast. And repetition, forms of repetition, are things that we relate to. So when you see people doing the things that you do, that is a form of repetition, and we laugh at that. And if you think about stand-up comedy, which is different, even stand-up comedians, there's a stand-up comedian out there for everybody, but you're not going to like every stand-up comedian because they're not talking your language. And then if we dial that down into sales, it's like finding the ideal client, right? So in comedy, like it's finding the ideal comedian, but for the comedian, it's finding the ideal audience to perform to and to be okay with that.
And social media weeds that out for you. So I feel like everybody has this chance. Like, that's the bittersweet thing, right? Like, technology is killing us all slowly, but also it's like the biggest opportunity we've ever had because the world is your stage at this point. You can do anything. And if you're consistent, your audience is going to come to you. So I think, and I mean, come on, man, especially my moms that are listening right now. Our kids give us content every day. There is not a single day in my life since I've become a mom that I have not, at one point or time of the day, laughed my ass off because you can't write scripts for this. Like, you cannot
No.
make up the shit I go through as a parent. Like, you just can't write it. So I don't care who you are. Like, you have no excuse. You have no excuse.
And yeah. And kids are the best. Like kids are the best at comedy because they have no filters and they have no fear. No filters and no fear. Like they're not overthinking it the way we are overthinking it. As adults, we are overthinking everything we do, worried about what people think of us, and we're going to be judged. And I just don't give a shit what you think. I mean, I don't. I mean, sometimes I do, but I've built up this resilience that I'm like, all right, you don't like me, you don't like me.
Tell my people how to do that. How do you hit that don't give a shit button in your life? Like, what is your superpower to
I
really
mean,
just not give a shit?
it takes so much practice. I will say that it doesn't happen overnight. But if you know, I've had a lot of great mentors over the years too. I had one mentor who said to me, "You know, it's none of your business what people think of you or say about you." There's like someone in my tiny little community who had like she was constantly throwing shade at me, and she was a pretty big personality in the community and a TV celebrity and blah blah blah. And it really hurt me. And when I heard that, it's none of your business what she says, that really resonated with me, and I held on to that. But it was still hard, and that went on for years. But I think you got to get to a place, and I've had a lot of therapy. You've got to get to a place of self-love. And one of the most pivotal moments for me is when I was leaving my first marriage. And I went back to therapy. I'm a big believer in therapy. Went back to therapy to help me leave the marriage. And she said to me on that first day, what is your goal here? And I said, my goal is to never pick a bad man again. Like to never pick poorly, because I just had such a pattern of picking poorly. And it's so funny that that's what I said I was there for, because she was able to, she was like one of the best therapists I've ever, the best, actually. And I quote her in my book. And she said to me, you know what your problem is? At the end of the session, she's like, you came in here with all this confidence. And I'm not, and you have confidence. Your problem is you don't have self-worth. And I was like, okay, listen, bitch. Okay,
Exactly.
what? Like, first, I was like, what are
I
you?
paying you for?
You said what? And I didn't know the difference between confidence and self-worth. And there's a difference. And I didn't know that till like 5 years ago. And so I think that was a big turning point for me to realize, like, I can be confident about my skills and the things I do, but self-worth is affected by external forces. And when we let those external forces get into our heads, that's where the noise comes in of caring what people think. But if you have self-worth, you don't give a shit. Like, okay, you don't like me. That's on you. That's okay. Next, where's my people? Where are my people? And so the best way to turn that off is do a self-analysis. If you're not going to go to therapy, like I do this with, I'm like, write down a props list. Give yourself props. What are you good at? Acknowledge that about yourself every day. Like, write down three things. Sometimes it's like, my hair looked good, was my prop of the day. I'll take it. But acknowledge that every single day, to the point where you're listening to the people who love you versus the people who don't love you, right? That's, I surround myself with people who actually like me. And the people who don't like me, I take things from that, but I don't hold on to it.
Well, I think everybody needs to kind of take that advice because we're blaming so many things around us. Like we always choose the wrong guy and all of these things. And at the end of the day, it's the truth. You have to look inside because if you're not you and fully whole and loved and stepping into the potential of who you're meant to be, I mean, you're always attracting that, I call it tornado energy, where it's just blah. So I think, I mean, and writing stuff down. Okay. I know I'm constantly preaching to you bitches. Okay. But take it from someone who is super badass, successful. Don't take my word for it. I'm just a podcaster. Okay. Seriously, Gina's
You're more
killing
than
it.
just a podcaster, so reframe that.
I'm a badass podcaster, you
Thank
guys.
you.
You've got to write it down. It does something pen to paper to your brain differently than even like, I'm a fan of I stick sticky notes all over. When I hear myself saying shit, I'm like, all right, I got to reframe this because that doesn't feel good. It's not serving me. Put it all over the wall where I see it, but it's that writing it down. And what is it? How long does it take you to write three things down every morning, Gina?
A minute, sometimes five, if I can't come up with something, right? If I'm like, what did I do yesterday? I didn't do anything good. I have to spend time thinking. It's the time thinking that takes longer.
It's like 5 minutes at most of your day. One little thing that completely changes the trajectory of your self-worth. 5 minutes a day. And I think it's so simple and it's so easy. And the fact that it doesn't cost money, people forget there's actually value in that. But if you did that for 90 days, you guys, you're going to come back and you'll be like, Gina, you are a godsend. Thank you for that.
And you're going to say, I'm a badass to
I'm a
yourself,
badass.
right? Like, you start to recognize that. You've got to find the things that are good about you. I think what we do is we focus so much on what we did not get done. And I just posted something on LinkedIn about this today, because I coach a lot of leaders and high performing leaders. And one of them yesterday said to me, just really struggling, and I don't want this to turn into a therapy session. And I said, what's up? And he goes, and a lot of them are men, most of my sales coaching clients. And he said, I just feel like I suck. And I was like, okay. I'm like, let's break that down. What are you sucking at? Right. And when we broke it down, like he just literally had this like boyish smile and he's like, okay, I don't really suck. Because we focus so much on what we're not doing or what we're not doing well versus, when I had him like kind of look in the mirror, I'm like, all right, let's talk about what you're doing. Like, all right, your team's hitting their numbers and above. Because I kept asking him coaching questions. I'm like, so does your team feel safe to come to you? Yes. Do they feel like, they can tell you anything? Yes. Are they performing? Yes. Are you meeting the numbers? Yes. I'm like, okay, so where are you sucking? And so the sucking part of what's going on in your life starts to become less significant when you start to recognize what's actually going really well. Like right now, I'm living on, when I need to pick me up right now, I go to Amazon and I just refresh my book page to
I
see if
love
I have any
that.
new reviews. And then I read the reviews.
I
I'm like,
love it.
I'm awesome.
Girl, we're so opposite, and I love that for us. 'Cause you can't pay me to go look at. I don't read comments, I don't read reviews. I'm like, I just keep serving the people. Like the right people are gonna get it. I'm definitely not that person, but like, how often do you think this guy's coming to you and he's like, I suck? And I think we all it does. I don't care who you are, everybody does that. You can think of your greatest mentor that you've put on this pedestal, and I guarantee they're like, oh my God, I suck. Well, what is comparison playing in this? Like, what kind of part is how much is that fucking us up?
Well, that's a major one, right? Comparison, especially for women, is huge. Now, men have imposter syndrome as well as women do. But the comparison piece, and also what was interesting about this person yesterday is that he was in the military. And so how he broke it down for me is like, in the military, like I had to adhere to these expectations. And so I always met and exceeded the expectations because it's what you do in the military. And so I said, okay, you're wired for that. Let's talk about how we can change some of that wiring that if you don't meet every milestone that, by the way, he set for himself, not others. If we rewired that, he got feisty with me because I'm like, you can't always be perfect. And his eyes popped and I saw him get angry. I said, okay, I said, let me back that up as a high performer. We strive for perfect and sometimes we miss the mark and it's okay. He said, okay, I can live with that. I said, but now that I know it motivates you, I'm going to tell you. You can't be perfect because that those words fire him up and motivate him, right? For some of us, telling us you can't do that
Soul
is
crushing.
exactly what we need to hear to move the ball. Some of us don't like that, but I'm like, tell me I can't do it. Watch me, bitch. Hold my Prosecco.
And I mean, please, I'm a testament to that. I was given an ultimatum. You could be an author or you could be my wife. I signed the divorce papers and it took a minute, but I'm like, motherfucker, I will show you. And I did. Five books later, people said, podcast, yeah, you're not going to stick with that. This is like episode 510. So, and I have three shows right now. So yeah, I'm definitely
Girl.
that person. And it's because it crushes me. It crushes me. And I'm like, oh, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to feel sorry? Are you going to give up? What are you going to do? There's no other way to move if you're not going forward. There's no point. No
Right.
point.
Right. Why would you go backwards to misery?
Or just sit in
Complacency.
being stagnant. Like that is
Yeah.
so uncomfortable for me. And I think I've got the neurospicy brain, so there's always I want to do everything all at once. And the
Same.
hardest thing, like I swim upstream with this because everyone's like, you can't. You have to pick one thing. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'll pick one thing today and tomorrow will be a new thing. And while, has it held me back in some areas? Of course. I mean, if you go all in on one thing, that's going to change a lot of things, but that doesn't feel good to me. Like my brain needs that different outlets of creativity. So if
I
you,
think this is a really important point that we should talk about
yeah.
because, through the years I've heard the same thing too. And I even preached it for a while of like,
Right.
do the one thing, master the one thing.
Yep.
I've been criticized by past bosses about like, hey, you do all these things and you're not focused on one thing. And I felt bad and I felt shame and I felt
Yep.
all those things like I wasn't doing it right. And after, years of experience, wisdom, education, because I'm always seeking to learn, I realized that those comments from other people were their projections
Yes.
onto me about how they felt about themselves, that they couldn't do those things. And so then they judge as a way
Yeah.
to self-soothe. And I have some empathy for it, but now I've learned to like cut through the bullshit. That's
Yeah.
you. That's
Yeah.
not me. What I've learned about me is that I am my best and most productive when I am juggling 10 knives and machetes at the same time.
Sisters from another mister. Yeah.
Right?
I
Like
wouldn't have any other way.
you have to know what gets you going? You have to know what your motivators are. I know, like, for example, this past semester, I only had one class.
Yeah.
And I observed myself, my, I don't want to say dedication. I just became a little more lazy
You
because
care a little less.
I only had one class, but whenever I have two classes, I'm crushing it because I'm like, all right, I'm gonna juggle this. Okay, on this day I do this class, and on this day I do this class, and I juggle it with my work and everything else. So the more I have, the better I do within,
Yes.
I have to set boundaries of like,
Yeah.
this is where I say no to things because I know I can't do it. Someone asked me to be on a podcast a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And I'm selective too.
Yeah.
And I researched it. I'm like, okay, this seems okay. And then they came back with like, oh, okay, so it's a 3-day summit. We need you to send out 100 emails and do 60 social media. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh.
That would be a hard no.
Yes.
I ain't got time for that.
No.
I'd love to. Okay. Oh, you're doing one of those 3-day summits where you generate leads and you, no, I'm way too good for that.
Yeah.
Like it's a cockiness,
Right.
but I have to get selective to stay really productive and successful. So
Yes.
I've been, anytime someone says, gosh, you do so much. I could never do that. How do you do that? Like they think I'm crazy right now because
Same.
I'm in the
Yeah.
middle of grad school. I decided to launch the write and launch the book at the same time I was in the middle of finals.
Yep.
I got braces last week and I'm still struggling, like struggling through that, plus training two puppies, running an improv theater, running my business. What else? What else?
Yeah.
Add a couple health issues in there.
Yeah.
And I'm thriving the best that I ever have.
Yeah.
But I couldn't take on one more thing. Just for clarity,
You could, but you wouldn't. That's the cool thing.
I choose not to.
Exactly. And that's how I feel. And the days that, I book things and people are always saying stuff like you, I don't know how you do all this. Well, I don't know how you don't. Like, how do you guys just like do nothing or just do one thing? That'd be so boring. I wouldn't
That
show up.
seems abnormal to us, but right, like so
Exactly.
we're high performers, right?
Yeah.
We're not normal people.
Yeah.
We're just not, and it's okay. We're
Yeah.
not going to judge you non-high performing people.
Maybe I
It's
am,
just who we are.
though. No, just do the things, you guys. God, do the
That's
things.
just who it's just who we are. It's
Yeah.
how we run.
I am literally lost on days that I maybe don't have another podcast because I do three shows as well as like, guest tour, I do things. And so on the days that I don't have that kind of stuff in my planner, like I take off Wednesdays because my son is wrestling, I don't even know what to do with myself. I
Right.
am lost. I pace the house. It's like if I don't have everything to do, I do nothing. I'm frozen
Yes.
in paralysis
Yes.
and I'm like, holy shit. I don't know what to do with myself. I literally, there's track marks in my carpet where I pace because I'm like, what do I do? I need
Yeah,
help.
we need to study,
I
research this, because
know.
I want to understand what is behind it, because I'm the same way.
Yeah.
And going back to how do you do it all, I'm like insane with my calendar. Like everything is scheduled out to the minute. And like you said, on days where I don't have stuff on my calendar, I get nothing done. I wander
Nothing.
the house.
Yes. And I'll pick up one thing and then I'm like, oh, I'll, it's so, I just can't. I'm not good. I'm not good unless I'm booked. And, who knows? Yeah, they can research our brain long after we die because it's working for us, you guys. It's working
It
for us.
works. It
There's a
works for
lot of,
us.
I tell my audience a lot because I know, everybody thinks that once you get your no bullshit button, zero fucks given button, and you do all these things, people think that you're fearless. And this is the thing, like, I want people to understand is that stuff I do is scary. Like, it's scary to start a new show because you think of all the things, and like, I do it anyway. I'm like, ah, whatever. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
But like, what's a choice that you have made re recently that was terrifying to you, but changed everything?
What a great question. I think there's been several choices that I've made that have scared me, especially this year. Writing the book scared me because it wasn't the original book I was writing. I actually put the original book, I was like five chapters in. It's too long of a story to get into, but I put it on a shelf. And I went into this major fear about writing that book.
Oh,
And we could talk about that offline.
yeah.
And then I was already in a process with my publisher, and I had to change directions with the book. And I decided, well, I'm going to make it a more personal book versus a business book, because the original book was more of a business book,
Yeah.
which I'm going to come back to because it's improvised intelligence. It's a little heavy. It's a little neuroscience heavy. And I changed directions with the new choice effect. And I'm like, how do I get this book done? Because I'm under this major deadline. You know it. You've been there. And I'm restarting this book from scratch. And I'm like, I'm going to tell stories. I'm going to tell, because what I've noticed throughout my career, especially my speaking career, is that people always come to me like, tell that one story.
Yeah.
I love that story, this story. I love that story. And story is so important. And I've had people come up to me at the end of a keynote from a story. And I'm like, I'm going to write a personal. And the way I structured the book was the new choice, the choices that we make in our life based on the life wheel, from education to health to career to finances. Like, I just hit the whole wheel.
Yeah.
And I told my own stories in those areas, and then how I got out of them, and how I used improv, and how others can get out of them, and some tips and practices. And that was the structure I decided to create for the book. But it was pretty scary because there's a
Yeah.
lot of personal shit in the book about me. And I'm like, am I gonna really put this out there?
I know
And it,
that feeling.
yeah, it's not just personal shit about myself, but it was even like personal shit
Other
about,
people.
right, my husband, my stepson. I even at one point, I doubt that he'll read it, but I said to my husband, I said, do you think he's gonna be okay with, in the chapter on religion, that I talk about him being a non-believer?
Yeah.
Because we're believers and he's not, and
Yeah.
his mother's not. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it anyway.
Yes, girl.
Like, so I think that to me was a really scary choice, was, putting
Yeah.
that out there and getting judged for it or criticized for it or losing business over it.
Yeah.
Getting braces was a scary choice this
Yeah.
year for, it's my career. And then I realized, like, what the fuck was I worried about? They're just
Ex
fucking
right.
braces.
Right.
Right, but sometimes like these stupid little fears seep into you and they become
Yes.
bigger than they are. And going to grad school this year was scary because I'm like, how am I going to manage it all?
Right.
Who am I to go back to school at this age? So there's three major fears in
Thank
one
you for
year.
normalizing the bullshit because, like, everyone thinks that's what makes them special and that's why they're stagnant. They think, I'm too old. It's too late. I can't do this now. So thank you for normalizing that. So again, it's that no excuses. Like,
No,
everybody's wants to be coddled and just like treated
yeah.
special for
No,
their,
excuses,
yeah.
especially age. Like, I
Especially.
can't do this because of this age. I don't, every time I think about my age, I'm like, how old am I? Get out of here.
Yeah, who believes that shit? We don't care about it. We
No.
don't care
And
about it.
then I was really embracing braces because I'm like, people are just gonna think I'm younger now with braces.
Exactly.
So
Exactly.
you can't use anything. Any limitations
No.
as an excuse because you can overcome those limitations.
Yeah. And defending them is so exhausting. I can't even have conversations with people anymore because I'm just like, hey, if you're going to keep defending it, I can't talk to you. Like,
Yeah.
that's what you want. I get it. I love you. I support you. But like, you have to step over there because like, you're in my happy bubble and you
Just
step over here.
say you're scared. And
Yeah.
this is actually a conversation I had with some of my performers last week. Improv performers are interesting people. When they come in new, they're excited. And I talk about the roller coaster of an improv performer. And this can really you can apply this to anybody in their careers. They come in, they're excited, they're nervous, they have a great like puppy energy, and
Right.
then they start to get a little cocky, right? Because they're starting to feel good about themselves. And then that's the point where I have to come in and like knock them off the roller coaster.
Absolutely.
Because they're too cocky, and a situation came up where they got too cocky with another teacher who is precious. She's precious and older, and she's been with me from day one, and she's hard on herself. And another performer came to me really upset about how they were treating her in the
Yeah.
class, and they didn't have bad intentions.
Right.
Right. They just were cocky. And so I gave a speech last week and I said, you guys got to knock this cockiness off. Like, you can't say to the teacher, oh, that's not how we do it. So and so does it like this. And then you guys go look it up on the internet and shove that in her face. I said, no, unacceptable. And someone said something really poignant. She said, I think the rea are some of us are reacting in that way. Like, she was reflective on it. She's like, because when someone comes in and does it differently than how we were taught, I'm like, it's improv. You can't break it. We can constantly twist how we play these games. Like, every teacher, I encourage them to be different and unique. Do not be Gina. Be who you are. Stay within some of the parameters of improv rules and create, you guys. So it's fascinating because she said, we're afraid to try something new because we were taught a different way. I said, well, then from now on, say, I'm afraid to do it this way. And that was like, you saw their eyes light up. But let's think about this for everybody.
Everybody.
Say, oh, you want us to do it like this? Oh, I've never, instead of saying we've never done it that way, you could say we've never done it that way and I'm uncomfortable.
Right. And it's
Own
that,
it.
yeah,
Own your
absolutely.
emotion.
But I think at like one of the points of this whole lesson is like, it is about being Gina. It's about being Mary. It's about being Brandon. It's about being Joe. Like, nothing is more exhausting than trying to be like everybody else. And teachers are not there to write every step of your next life. Okay. That's what the Bible's for. Teachers are just there to give you ideas as you're creating your own narrative and stepping into who you are. Do you think confidence comes before action, or is it the other way around?
You asking?
Yeah. Tell my
I mean, I
people.
think I, you know, if you look at the textbook on it, confidence comes from the repetition of doing something. And so when you do things over and over again and you get slightly to a place of mastery, you can become confident. So you're fearful before you've had a couple reps in. So the confidence builds with action, in my opinion.
and nothing is going to bring action in your life other than you making those little mini micro decisions every single day that are going to help you become more of you.
Right.
Absolutely. What is, I mean, we know decisions are a muscle, and we have to exercise that every day. What would be the advice to you for people to train that decision-making muscle without injury, like effortless? How do we do that? Or are they just in the arena and you're going to get your ass kicked either way?
Both,
Yeah.
both, right? So the whole concept of the book, The New Choice Effect, to break it down a little bit, not to shamelessly plug it, but I think this is where when I decided to write this book, I know how many people struggle with decision making, get stuck in this analysis paralysis. And when I was in the midst of like changing the path of the book, and I had put the other book on the shelf and I was taking a break, and I was sitting in one of my shows watching my performers perform. There's an improv game called New Choice. And as they were playing the game New Choice, I said, oh my gosh, that's the book. Because New Choice, I was trying to find a way to frame improv in an easy to understand way. The first book struggled with that. The new choice game, let's just say two performers are on stage performing, it's you and I, and we're going back and forth, and like, hey, let's go to the store and buy some food to cook tonight, and the director yells new choice. Hey, let's go to the ice cream shop and get a shake. New choice. Let's go to the mall and try on jewelry. New choice. Let's just not do anything,
I
right? And
like
so,
that choice.
right? Like, so the performer in the moment has no time to think. You are just quickly responding to that stimuli of the director saying, nope, do it again. Nope, do it again. Nope, do it again. And that is such a muscle. So when people say, why, how are performers, improv performers, so fast on stage? You do something like that on a regular basis, you stop judging yourself. You stop doubting what you're creating, because you're just creating for the sake of creating. And I talk about that throughout the book of like, start doing that with yourself. Every time you're in a decision mode and you're like, I can't make a decision on that, just go to the first place, say the first thing that comes to mind, even if it doesn't make sense, and keep new choicing yourself. I could do this. New choice, or I could do that, new choice, or I could do that, new choice, or I could do that, new choice, and write it down.
How do you teach someone to trust their gut when the logical part of our brain is like, no?
Again, repetition and failure, right? You're never going to trust your gut if you don't fail at some things, right? You have to know. I teach this when it comes to like an audience, right? Performing in front of an audience. Sometimes the audience laughs. Sometimes the audience groans. Sometimes the audience doesn't react, right? There's three opportunities. And what was funny tonight won't be funny tomorrow night because the audience changes. So when it comes to trusting that intuition, you have to pay attention to how others are reacting around you, which then becomes a study of patterns. A study of human behavior. And you can start to kind of figure out, oh, right, it's a little bit of profiling in a way, but you can start to understand the patterns of people so that I can make an assumption that if A happens, B will probably happen. And guess what? If B doesn't happen, I'm not going to die. That's it. So keep trying and failing. Or succeeding to build the muscle, but doing nothing, you're never going to get there.
No, I agree. Which improv rule, if you had to pick one for people to tattoo on their brain, the one that they just need inked in, what is it?
I'm always going to go back to the yes and concept. Actually, no, I'm going to back that up because yes and supports it. Our number one rule in the core, our number one core value of our company is to make others look good. Because when you focus on making others look good, you automatically look good.
Ooh.
So taking the higher road in everything that you do, right? There are going to be people out there who are haters,
Yeah.
who are going to shit on you.
So
And you
that's
don't
like
have,
being the responding, not reacting, like not being reactive.
yeah, don't stoop to others' levels. In improv on stage, our number one job is to take care of each other. So you and I might be on stage together. You come up with an idea. Frankly, it sucks.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be like, oh no, that's a bad idea, Brandon. I'm
Right.
gonna I'm because you came up with an idea and I came up with nothing, I'm gonna support your idea. And if I think it sucks, and I'm not going to say that because then I look like an asshole, then I'm going to start contributing other ideas so that we can actually collaborate to create something together, which is the yes and concept. The yes and concept is, I break it down into communicate, validate, collaborate. I have to listen and observe. I have to validate others by repeating what I heard them say for clarity, and then I'm going to collaborate and I'm going to work with that other person to create something together. It's not all about you or all about me. And when you stay in that mindset and everything that you do, you're going to be successful, right? You and I are very much on social media. Everybody needs a lesson in yes and. I am over the vitriol. I am over, right? Everyone can have their point of view, but stop being an asshole.
Right.
Like, stop and listen to others. You don't have to agree with them. You accept that that's where they come from. Even if it's monstrous and you don't like it, that's who people are. And I can make the choice to move on.
Bless,
But
block, delete, bitches.
I love that. I saw you post that. I'm like, that's the best. Best,
Yeah.
bless, block, delete.
That's it.
100%. That goes back to surround yourself, right? Don't just make others look good. Surround yourselves with the people who make you look good.
Yeah. And feel good. Like, there is no point in keeping people in your bubble, even on social media, because I was like, oh, I mean, they are just giving an opinion and they are just saying this stuff. And when it starts to become backhand insults, I'm like, wait a minute. Does this person bring value to my life? Is there anything about anything I read that they comment on that makes me feel good or brings any kind of value into my life? No, bless, block, delete.
I think there's something wrong with that. Through the years of, probably the past whatever, 8, 9 years
Yeah.
of major drama on social media, some people are like, well, why would you block and delete people? They just have their opinions. And for a
Ugh.
while, I believed in
Me
that. And
too.
then to your point, I'm like, I just don't like their energy and I choose to not. Like, would I be friends with them in real life?
No.
No. Well, no, I wouldn't. So it doesn't mean that I'm, some people say, oh, you're just going to stay in your stronger view versus hearing other people's views. There are some people that we don't agree. They're still in my Facebook life because they're smart people, because they do have interesting points.
Yeah.
Every now and then we'll do a little, back and forth punch, but they're kind. They're intelligent, they're well spoken. I just don't agree with them.
Right.
I like having those people around. It
Yes.
expands my thinking. But
Yeah.
if you're an asshole, you gotta go.
You gotta go. And the backhanded stuff, I wasn't really seeing it until I felt some kind of way the other night and I typed and deleted twice. And I'm like, you know what? What do you really want to happen right now? Because this isn't changing. This has been an underlying, it's been happening. So what I really at my core wanted was just for it to go away. Like, it's that simple. And it's the same way in life. I would be the same way face to face. Like, look, I don't have to be an asshole to you, but I'll make it very clear. I lose respect for people that don't have morals, who don't have, values, who just have no common sense. I can't. I am a high performer. I do a lot of shit. I don't have time for that stuff. I don't have time. Like, I don't have the energy. I don't have any of it. I can't fake it. I can't. I just, it's exhausting.
Well, it's preservation, and I think
Yeah.
you hit it on the head too. Time is so valuable. I don't want to waste my time on things that don't make me or the world a better place.
That part. What is the boldest choice that you still haven't made and why? What's the next scary fucking thing you have to do?
Next boldest choice. Damn, girl, you stumped me on that one. I don't know.
That's so great.
Yeah, I don't know. Now you gave me like a homework assignment
Yeah,
to
you're
do.
definitely going to be thinking about that. And I think everybody, every single day,
Yeah.
ask yourself, what is the next scary choice I need to make? I mean, that's how Listen, Bitch came
Yeah.
to life. That is my what's the next scary thing? And I have a lot of scary things that I just am putting one.
Yeah. I haven't put like a specific scary thing out there, but I have a generalization
Yeah.
that has crossed my mind. And recently I was reading the book Market Eminence by David Newman, who's a friend of mine. And you would love him. He's amazing. And
Yeah.
he says something in there about like, people are gonna hate you. I think I wrote it down somewhere because I was like, this is so good. But what it made me realize, and I think I've known this, but I've kind of ignored it, I'm not always as vocal with my point of view as I would like to be because putting it out there is scary. That's probably why I fangirl you, because I admire that about you, that,
It's scary, girl.
yeah, you're way better at
It's
it.
so scary. And the
Yeah.
internet is ugly. And it
Yeah.
hurt for a minute. It did. It does hurt for a minute. It hurts a lot, actually. And then you realize, like, well, it hurt, but I didn't bleed out. So it's refreshing.
Yeah, so that would probably be my next big bold choice. I don't know specifically, but that would be the generalization of, and this came up years ago, and it's kind of coming back. Are you Jeffrey Gittimer? My first podcast started under his umbrella, and he's a pretty rough and tough kind of guy, and when we first created the Women Your Mother Warned You About podcast under his umbrella, people have said to me, aren't you worried about what people are going to think? Or are you worried, aren't you worried about, scaring off clients with just based on the podcast title? And I said, no, actually, I kind of hope to lose some clients and to gain new ones based on that. But someone else had said, girl, put your stake in the ground. Like, what are you really adamant about from a point of view perspective that you would literally fight people on? That's the next bold choice I want to make.
I love that. And I think there's a big, we were taught, this is what I was taught anyway, that you don't talk politics, you don't talk religion, you don't put anything personal on social media because that is your business. Your Facebook is your business.
Yeah.
And I believed in that for a long time. And like, it did not feel good. It didn't feel good to me. In fact, I haven't, my voice didn't really become my voice until a couple months ago when I finally had enough. And I'm like, no, this is who I am. And I want people like me around me, you know? And it's
Yeah.
simple. It's my version of common sense. I just want to be surrounded with common sense because I'm getting lost in the bullshit. I'm getting lost in the delusion and I'm not having fun. Like, this isn't fun. It's just pissing me off. So there's nothing that made me more me than not just losing that fear. I piss people off every day. I'm not getting the go kill yourself messages lately,
Right.
but that's from a lot of block and delete, right?
Yeah,
But
right.
it's, oh,
I mean, I think it's also a scary world today.
it is.
Like, it is a scary world, and I'm careful too on things that I say and do because just there are moments where I'm like, I don't know, is someone crazy gonna
Show up and
show up because I
right.
said XYZ? Like, there is a little bit of that fear. there is a little bit of the fear of like making sure that I represent my family and household well, right? Like my husband is like you said, like I'm so madly in love with him, and except this morning I yelled at him, but on a text message. But I always want to do right by him too, as a police officer at a university, who's well known. And so, one of the first rules was do not ever get a DUI. Like that'll be a
I mean, that's
divorce.
fair.
Right. So I'm always like conscientious of like how I also represent my family while representing myself. Right. And that's the constant dance. But yeah, if I could be less fearful on that. I think the other piece of it is having a point of view, in my opinion, sometimes that point of view needs to be backed up with some facts. And sometimes I don't always have the facts. So I might not communicate my point of view because it's just an opinion. And that's, then I'm like, well, I don't have facts on that. So I'm not even going to communicate that point of view because, then the trolls come after you. And I'm like, I haven't had time to research it. And that's my other pet peeve about people who post shit that, like, did you actually research this? Is this, there's so much that gets put out there that
Is
is
bullshit.
bullshit, fake news, stories that get fabricated on purpose to create. I learned a new phrase the other day, rage bait. People are posting shit just to create rage and vitriol.
It's
And
the
that's why this
clicks and
world has
it
become,
exactly.
it's scary and
Yeah.
annoying that
I
that's the
agree.
world we're in.
I agree. And it is, I mean, this is the thing, we should be able to ask questions. And I love that. Those discussion posts, like I'll put it up, like I haven't researched this. Tell me what you know. And it, everybody spams me with like what their information is. Or, I've just really learned, you guys, just at the end of the day, nobody cares about you. Like they just don't. The world doesn't care about you. The government
Yep.
doesn't care about you. Like
Amen.
nobody cares about you. And the most important thing for you to do to be able to be in this world that is just full of shit, really, because it doesn't matter if you do the research, because who can you trust anyway? Because I do the research and then I find different truth and I'm like, wait a minute. So
Yes,
four
exactly.
articles are lying to me right now because they have an agenda to serve. But here's the real truth. So getting caught up in that on an emotional level, like you're just playing into it. And I think,
And that's super annoying today because, I was a journalism major, and
Oh, that's got to be frustrating.
we were taught to fact check everything. And so, like, God forbid people actually use Grammarly and spell things correctly. They're not even fact checking things. And that makes me a little nuts. So when Charlie Kirk got assassinated, I was okay, I get emotional every time I think about it.
I know.
I was so torn apart by it for so many reasons. My husband's a police officer at a university, right? So that's probably the core that hits me every time there's a university shooting. I am disturbed, right? Because every
It's
day
close
he
to
like
home.
when I first met him and he's like a cop and I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to date a cop. My father was a mob guy, right? But I'm like, okay. So then I was worried about safety and I'm like, he's at a university. How bad could it be? But I'm constantly worried about him. And then the piece that this young mother and wife lost her husband and the father of her children. And like all of that universal truth, loss, grief, unfair death, like all of that hit me to the core and just wrecked me because I'm a fucking human. And so I think I shared a couple posts like, rest in peace or something along those lines. Not even like a political stance. It was just sharing like how sad I was.
Innocent man died publicly. There should be a genuine part of humanity where we're like, oh my God, so sorry.
Just like the Rob Reiner assassination wrecks me, right? This is about being human. It's not political. And so someone reached out to me privately on Facebook and sent me a message. and said, and she's an African American woman that I've known for years. Like I forget how we met. We may have met once at an event, and a very nice woman. And she said, "Do you realize the terrible things he has said and done to black women?"
Oh.
And I honestly was in such a raw place, and I'm always willing to listen and hear and be empathetic. Like I'm all about, I am about making sure that those who are not given all the opportunities should be given the opportunities if they're held back in some way. And I said, "You know what? I'm not aware of it. I just heard of this man. And I'm just right now in my feels because of my husband and my family. And I'm not in a place to talk about it, and I don't have enough information. I'm just sad by this humanness, right?" And she just kept coming at me. Kept coming at me, kept coming at me. "Well, you should be willing to listen to these things and read these things." And I said, "I am happy to do that. I will, anything you want to share with me, I will look at, but not right at this very moment because I'm mentally not there." And I was as kind as I could be. And then she sent me a bunch of things. And after a few days, I went and I looked at them. And a lot of this stuff was not like substantiated, was not like the sources were not real sources.
Everything's taken out of context.
And I'm like, and now like I went down, I was like, then I was searching. I'm like, I wanted to search to prove what she was saying. And it just made me stop and realize like we all get so emotionally wrapped up in how this impacts us. And that's where we have to show up as human and be empathetic. Like her lens was a different lens than my lens, and that's okay. And I accept your lens. Please accept my lens, and let's not judge each other for those lenses. Like, let's agree to disagree because we're coming from different perspectives on a very emotional hot topic. So, there's my putting something out there on my point of view. My point of view, it upsets me when people get killed for no good reason.
And there's I that's a whole other podcast show. It's a
I
whole
know.
other episode, but you
Yep.
guys, it is. And I love that. I love, keeping people in my life that do have the different perspective, but there's a mutual respect there. And the minute that there's not, you're not good for each other. If everything
Correct.
I post is going to piss you off and make you feel triggered, I'm not your person. I am
Right.
not your person.
Right.
It's very simple. And I think we try to hold on to whatever it is, so we can prove a point. You have nothing to prove to anybody. Like, I don't lose sleep over you. You're not going to lose sleep over me. I want you. Your only job in this life is to step into your God-given potential and create. Create. Stop living the mundane life. Stop being afraid to make decisions and get Gina's book. Why don't we do, let's do a blurb before we wrap it up today. I want you just to do, tell us what we're going to get out of the book, why we should get it. I know you guys are already ordering it because you heard me talk about it in the beginning, and then you hear her and you just know she's a badass and you're like,
Gotta
I
do
have to
it.
have it.
Yeah, the new choice effect. It is the book that you need when you are stuck in decision, when you are stuck in paralysis analysis, and you doubt. You doubt the choices that you make. You overthink the choices that you make. You're fearful of what people are going to think about you because of the choices that you make. You're afraid that you're going to get hurt because of the choices that you make. Guess what? All of that shit's going to happen. And you just need to be able to roll with the choices with confidence. And if that sounds like you, then you need the book.
Absolutely. And where are they going to find it?
Best place to go is thenewchoiceeffect.com. And
Okay.
then that'll give you different options. I'm learning a lot. Like Amazon right now is saying that it's out of stock. I'm like, it just published. What do you mean it's out of stock? But I guess it's a Amazon publishing thing if like demand's too high or something. So there's options. There's Amazon, there's Barnes and Noble. So I put all the links on that on thenewchoiceeffect.com, including if you want to buy it directly from me and get an autograph, you can do that too.
I love that. And where else do people need to go to find you?
GinaTremarco.com. That's
Okay.
all the things are at GinaTremarco.com. And I did a podcast the other day, and he's like, "What happened to your podcast? Are you going to do another podcast?" I'm like, "I'm bringing something back. I just haven't decided what that's going to be yet."
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that last time we talked, actually, you revamping that. So I'm waiting for it because I think you have an incredible voice.
Thank you.
I mean, you are just one of definitely my role models. And
Oh.
you have a voice and improv is great. A book is great, but I feel like this is a playground that nobody can touch. You know what I mean? Facebook, LinkedIn,
Yeah.
Instagram, that's someone else's playground. Right here, this is always going to get to be the best version of you represented
Yeah.
without any outside influence,
Well,
you know?
let me ask you this, because I'm a big believer in, right? A lot of times we don't see ourselves the way others see us. And I think it's
Right.
important from a positive aspect. I don't care if you don't listen to the judgment and the bullshit, but also don't ignore your brilliance that people see that you don't see, if
Right.
that makes sense. And so that's why I like to ask people, what do you see? Like, if I come back with another, or I should say, when I come back with another podcast, what would that look like? Like, what would be the podcast for you and even your listeners that, like, oh, yes,
Yeah.
I want that podcast with Gina. What would that look like?
I mean, it's that women empowerment
Okay.
along the lines of stepping into badassery, right? The no bullshit button. You know,
Okay.
it is just taking your boldness and absolutely women empowerment. And you're a girl's girl. You're not, there's no bullshit meter going off, right? There's so
Yeah.
many women out there that have the podcast, but like they're not real, and they put up this whole charade of bullshit perfection, and like they
Yeah,
have
yeah,
it
yeah.
all figured out. And we need more people who are willing to say the truth. And the truth is, life is fucking hard and shit's scary and decisions can paralyze you, but get the fuck over it and be who God created you to be. It's that simple. But then they're listening to these other women who make it
Yeah.
impossible.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And if any of your listeners, if any of you have a perspective or point of view for me, please, please, please tell me. Come
Yeah.
to GinaTremarco.com and tell me.
Please do, you guys. Gina, I appreciate you so much. And I love that people got real shit from you. The Listen Bitch audience is gonna take home. I know they're gonna use it. They're gonna do that 5 minutes a day because I trolled them about it. But you guys are listening right now. I want everybody to go grab the new choice effect. Okay. You know, it's not another book. It is a method for getting unstuck, for getting confident, and actually moving your ass. Okay. It's already hitting big. So, and it's changing how people think about choices. So in the show notes, you guys check out for the links here. Make sure you follow her, reach out, and start making new choices today. I love you guys. Thank you so much, Gina.
Thank you.